Halofa, gang. Halofa, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. That is the place you go to keep free speech alive. We need to keep free speech alive no matter what language it's in, whether it's in English, whether it's in Samoan, whether it's in, you know, Yiddish or Ladino or whatever it's called. Keep free speech alive, and also go to nationalbugle.com, a place where you go and you see all the great headlines that Mark Dankoff and myself put up there. Great stories. It's a companion site to this program. And while you're there, you can download the kosher-certified app, so you too can lead a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. So you too don't have to support all sorts of causes that you don't support. You don't have to financially support a lot of Zionist causes, because indirectly that's what you're doing through the what is called the kosher tax. Because in order to be kosher certified, you have to hire a bunch of rabbis to certify you. And those rabbis take that money, and they don't just play mahjong with it. They pass some of it along to causes that you're not necessarily in favor of. So do that, the Co-Certified app. Now, you can get that at nationalbugle.com. Now, I'm considering, at least for today, I think I am renaming this show. It's the National Bugle Radio, but I think I'm going to call it the Morning Talofa Report. Talofa. What's Talofa? Talofa is aloha in Samoan. And today is the big day. Iowa's had it say, New Hampshire's had it say, Nevada and South Carolina. Today is the big day of the American Samoa caucuses. So, and I say caucuses, actually I think it's one caucus. There must be, because there's other islands. But I think the main meeting is going to be at a bowling alley in downtown whatever it is that's the capital of American Samoa. Pretty cool, eh? In a bowling alley. They call it a sports center, but it's a bowling alley. And that is where Tulsi Gabbard has her big chance of getting on the scoreboard. So the rules, and I assume it applies to the America Samoa caucus, so the rules are, if you get 15%, you're viable, and you can get delegates. Now, American Samoa has 6 delegates. 15% would get you a delegate, and then presumably, 33% would get you 2. Although you might get there faster if there would have to be other viable candidates. So that's basically it. I think the competition is between her and Mike Bloomberg. I don't know, maybe Bernie Sanders is competition. I don't see why she would not get at least 15%, being that she was born in American Samoa, being that her father, at least in the 70s and early 80s, was living there. She's part Samoan. She was born there, and older people might, it's not a big place, older people might remember her grandmother's store where she sold pineapple cakes. Who knows? That's the pitch that she's giving, and why not? Now, American Samoa, I had been thinking they were on the other side of the international dateline, but I've got out my handy-dandy National Geographic globe that I always keep here. Guess what? No. Fiji's on the other side. The Samoan Islands, Western Samoa. And where is American Samoa? Oh, there's American Samoa. Oh, Pago Pago. Is that the capital of... So Apia is the capital of Western Samoa. Pago Pago, at least according to my globe... And this is an old globe, it's a good 50 years old, but it is the capital of American Samoa, U.S. Samoa. So, we'll see. She gets 15%, she gets 30%, she picks up a delegate or two, gets on the scoreboard. Because honestly, it's looking pretty grim for her otherwise in terms of getting 15%. Now, you don't have to get 15% statewide. In the states, you can, if you're 15% in a congressional district, you can get delegates that way. But She's not that popular with the Democrats. She's actually seems to be more popular with independents and Republicans. And now one primary that she is paying attention to is Utah, because they let independents and Republicans vote in the Democratic primary. And so who knows? You might get a certain crossover. I'm not exactly expecting it, but what I am expecting is that she might have her best congressional district be a Utah district. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see if she can get to the 15% and score another delegate or two somewhere. Now, apparently what I think there's like... Oh, let me check. Okay, yeah. 1,357 delegates. 1,357 out of the total 3,979 delegates. What is needed for the nomination is 1,991. That was a good year for something, I'm sure. That's for the first round. After the first round, as you know, there's going to be another 771 superdelegates who will jump in if it goes to a second round. Anyway, so what's the delegate scorecard so far after these four states? Well, so far, according to the sources I've got up in front of me, which is, it's something Google, there's been 155 delegates declared so far. And Bernie Sanders has 60, which is something less than half. And Joe Biden, 54, almost all of which came from South Carolina. South Carolina's got a bigger population. I guess it's got a bigger population than Nevada. Nevada's growing fast, but it's got a bigger population than the other states. I guess Iowa and South Carolina pretty much the same. Bud Edge with 26, Elizabeth Warren with 8, Amy Klobuchar with 7. Now, Bud Edge is... Now, the thing is, I know Amy Klobuchar suspended her campaign. If she suspends the campaign, she keeps the 7 delegates. If she ends the campaign, then those become undeclared delegates. They can vote for anybody. Although, if she won any statewide delegates, they can be reapportioned. On the 25% of the delegates are statewide. And so, I guess she got these in New Hampshire. She might have a statewide delegate or two, which, if she dropped out, would be reapportioned. But the delegates, as I recall, that you win at the congressional district level, they become, they're not reapportioned. Uncommitted delegates, uncommitted. So Bernie's a little bit less than half. Right now he's won about 40% of the delegates, just under 40% of the delegates. But today he's going to have a big delegate total, and I don't think there's any scenario in which he doesn't win an outright majority of the delegates. And he could win, we're gonna see, but he could win, I think he could win 60% of the delegates tonight. And then you start getting into this scenario, because this is what happened in 4 years ago, as you recall, was in the early primaries, and Super Tuesday too. Super Tuesday, Donald Trump, he didn't sweep. And you kept having this scenario until midway through the race. It's like, well, if Donald Trump, I mean, he's only been winning, 40% up until now. And if he doesn't win, he's got to win 60% of the remaining delegates in order to be nominated on the first ballot. And that's just not going to happen. Well, of course, that is exactly what happened as the race wound down and eventually just became him and Ted Cruz. And he was beating Cruz in state after state. He was winning 60% plus of the delegates. Bernie Sanders, after Super Tuesday, is not going to be in that situation. Bernie Sanders is going to have a clear majority of the delegates. And so you're going to get to a situation where they'll be saying that Joe Biden or Michael Bloomberg, or whoever winds up emerging as the main rival to Bernie, and it's going to be one of those two, that they are going to have to win 65% of the delegates in order to win on the first ballot, which isn't going to happen. And so then they're going to be talking about the brokered convention scenario. So they'll need to somehow keep Bernie below, say, 40% or 38% of the delegates, which I think Bernie is going to emerge from today with enough momentum that he's going to be next to unstoppable. But they'll try. They'll try. And so if he wins, well, let's start doing some math here, okay? Hold on. Okay, so here are the calculations. Here are the calculations. So right now, Bernie's got 60 delegates, Biden's got 54, and Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Warren, combined 41. Bloomberg doesn't have any yet. There's 1,357 up for grabs today. Now, we know that the bulk of them, well over 400, are in California. So about a third of them are in California. Bernie's got a huge, huge lead in California, and he's just going to walk away with lots of delegates. Texas maybe is the second biggest haul, and it's a similar story, not quite to the same extreme. Let's look at the polling numbers there. Okay, so I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics averages, and they've got they give Sanders in California, Sanders 35%, Warren 23%. I'm sorry, Biden 23%, Warren 16%, and Bloomberg 14%. Now, whether or not Warren or Bloomberg, both of them might get to 15% statewide and be viable for the 100 plus delegates, you know, 110 delegates or so that's going to be apportioned statewide, they could get a share of it. You know, they could each pick up at least 15, 16 delegates that way, plus whatever they get in the congressional districts. I think it's 51 congressional districts, 51, 52. Now, the thing is, if they're around 15%, it means necessarily that in, you know, maybe half the districts are going to be above 15%, about half they're going to be below 15%, so they're not going to be viable. They're not going to get their share of the delegates. They're not going to get 15% of the delegates, of the total delegate haul. Biden and Sanders would get outsized, and particularly Sanders, because Biden, if this polling is correct and he is at 23%, then he might miss the 15% threshold in some congressional districts, certainly more than Sanders would. Sanders is ahead of Biden, but actually this seems... Okay, maybe I'm going to have to take this back a little bit. He seems to be picking up on Sanders in Texas, making it close. Bloomberg 18... So Sanders 29.5, Bloomberg Biden 28, Bloomberg 18, Warren 14. And then North Carolina, which is much smaller than Texas or California, but it's got Biden ahead. So still, Biden if Bloomberg, I'm sorry, if Bernie gets 60%, maybe he's not going to get 60%, but if he does get 60%, which is kind of the way it works, that's my back of the envelope calculation. If he were to get 60% of the delegates today, he's going to be at 814, and it would need 1177 to remain, which would be, he would be about 47% of the delegates he would need in the remaining contests, which presumably would narrow. We'll see. I mean, Are Warren, Bloomberg, and Biden all three going to stay in? Well, maybe there's a logic for it, maybe there's not. We'll see. Biden, the best case scenario for Biden, I think, would be to win about 30% of the delegates. And if that were the case, he would need in order to win on the first ballot, he would need 64% of all remaining delegates. And of course, Bloomberg, who doesn't have a single delegate yet, would be that much farther behind. Now, all of this logic, if Bernie somehow underperforms, and if these endorsements by Klobuchar and Buttigieg actually help Biden the way they're intended to, maybe it's not going to be a 60-30 split in favor of Bernie. Maybe it would be a 50-40 split. It's going to be in favor of Bernie. I don't see how it could be anything but in favor of Bernie. But let's just say Bernie only gets 50% of the delegates, or a scenario where Biden's getting 40% of the delegates. But still, Bernie comes out with a substantial lead, and he'd be well over 100 delegates ahead of Biden, and his path, it'd need 53%. So I don't know. It's not a lock, but I think the scenario that we're looking at is that after today, Bernie's going to come up with at least half the delegates. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to be at least half, probably more like 60% of the delegates, but at least half the delegates. Biden maybe more than I would have ever predicted, because I predicted he would win zero delegates, and obviously I was wrong on that, and I've been wrong in the past, and I'll be wrong in the future. But he's not any better of a candidate than he was before. And with the added attention, I see him still, he's going to fall apart. And then the question is, I guess right now, the whole thing, and this is what Elizabeth Warren has made into her issue, is a brokered convention. Stopping Bernie from getting the nomination on the first ballot. Now, so Warren, I guess, she has been considered as somebody who is attracting she adopted a lot of Bernie's issues. The soak the rich, and while she doesn't claim to be a socialist, the big government solutions that are less centrist than those that Biden or Bloomberg or Klobuchar or Buttigieg were pushing. So Medicare for All, for instance. And so I guess if you were a Democratic establishment person, I guess what you would want would be those people who are the centrists. Steyer, to the extent he had any support, and he only had a little bit of support in South Carolina. I don't think he had much elsewhere. But Steyer and Buttigieg, who had some AstroTurf support, and then Klobuchar, get them to drop out and support Biden, although it's unclear whether Steyer is going to support Biden. Maybe he'll support Bloomberg. Who knows? Tribal loyalties, Goy. But get them to drop out and support a viable non-Bernie candidate, and then have Warren, who supposedly appeals to the same base that Bernie does, have her stay in. And that would be, if you were a Democratic establishment, that's what you would want. And that's what you're getting. But I don't think that would be enough. And then, of course, the idea that you could go in with Bernie having 40 to 45% of the delegates and the others far behind, and then deny him the nomination and in the second round throw it to either one of these others or a dark horse, somebody who didn't even run. Is that the recipe for beating Donald Trump? Well, we'll find out.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, or shall I call it the Morning Talofa Report. Talofa. Talofa, all of our friends in Samoa, Tahines, or the Tahine, I don't know, that's how you say woman, I don't know how you say man, I don't think I know any other words in Samoan. I did at one point. I had a friend who spoke Samoan, and I have a few friends, Samoan friends and non-Samoan friends who spoke Samoan. But I think those are the two words I remember. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think you can say Fia Mea Hoku'ule. And I think that's Samoan. Fia Mea Hoku'ule. At least Fia Mea. And I think it's something very rude that I wouldn't be allowed to say on RBN. So that I remember. I won't say it to Tulsi Gabbard. I don't think she speaks Samoan. But I'm not going to say it to her because it would be rude. And it's not the type of thing that a dignified person like myself should go around saying. So I won't say it anymore. And as we know, you know, everything dies on the internet, so I don't have to worry about that. Getting back to this whole horse racing, it is Super Tuesday. And so the question is, Is my assumption that voters are very, very low information and that lots of voters are going to go into the polls and see Buttigieg's name, which is supposedly Buttigieg, but that don't make no sense, and Klobuchar's name and Steyer's name, to the extent anybody cared about him in the first place. I mean, think of Minnesota. Everybody in Minnesota, they know Klobuchar because she's been their senator for the past, what, 14 years, I think? Did she come in 2006? I can't remember. But I'm going to remember. Okay, through the power of the pause button in Google, I've confirmed. Very smart. She was elected in 2006. I think that was when... And, of course, inaugurated the next January, 2007. I believe Sanders was the same election that he became senator. He had been a member of the House of Representatives prior to that from, I believe, 1990. I think it was 1990. Anyway, my question is, do people, even in Minnesota, they go in there, are they going to know that the day before, the people voting today in Minnesota, are they going to know that yesterday Klobuchar dropped out and endorsed endorsed Joe Biden? And are they going to vote for Joe Biden as a result of that? How many people are going to do that? Maybe some, but how many? I don't know. I think that people are low information. And then how about all the gay people in San Francisco who presumably would have been wanting to vote for Buttigieg? Are they going to not vote for Buttigieg and instead vote for Joe Biden instead of Sanders, who at least will give them free AIDS medication? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how these endorsements, because typically endorsements don't count for a whole lot. Now, I remember in... 1988, I think Hawaii must have had their caucus really early in 1988 or something like that. Or maybe it was just Iowa. Alexander Haig was running for president, and I think he had gotten in an early caucus, he'd gotten like 8 votes, not 8%, but like 8 votes or something like that. And he dropped out of the race and threw his support to, was it George Bush or Bob Dole or somebody? He threw his support to Bob Dole. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to check that. And on Saturday Night Live in 1988, Dennis Miller was the, he was doing Weekend Update and he reported that. And he said, "Thanks a lot, Al," because... 8 votes, yeah, throwing your support to the winner, so to another candidate. And I think if you look historically, when a candidate drops out of the race and endorses somebody else, I don't think it means a whole lot to the people who were going to vote for that person. Are they then going to just follow the instructions of that candidate, or are they just going to vote for their own second choice, whomever that may be? And so, we'll see. I have the feeling, and Buttigieg was a lot higher than Klobuchar in national polls, but I guess Klobuchar had been memed very heavily, and she might have been getting up to about 6% if you were to look at polls in other states. Buttigieg maybe around 8% or so, and that's not something to sneeze at, even if you have coronavirus. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Sayonara, Lopato Kamisaki.
Welcome back to the show. So, let's go through the most recent polling data that we have, because I've been making predictions. Is it based on anything? Here's something that's interesting. There's this, and I've never seen them before. I look at the polls on Real Clear Politics, and they've got a whole bunch of polls from a whole bunch of different sources. And you do notice that certain sources tend to skew one way or another. So, for instance, I keep an eye on Tulsi Gabbard. Why not? It's fun. And she's always done better in the YouGov polls and in the Economist polls, and she does worse in other polls. Now, I've never seen this poll before, but Data for Progress, and Data for Progress seems to be some sort of blog or something, and who funds it? I'm trying to find out. They don't have a Wikipedia page. I'm not really sure who funds Data for Progress. They seem to be big on the Green New Deal. Their numbers are very different from other numbers. And they've got a bunch of polls that were just released today, in time for the primary. And so I'm looking here at Minnesota. That's Amy Klobuchar's state. And What you see in polls that were released in mid, or that were conducted mid-February, mid to late February, one from the Star Tribune / Mason-Dixon, and that was conducted the 17th to the 20th of February, 500 voters polled, and it showed Klobuchar in the lead at 29%, and Sanders with 23%, Biden with 8%. And then they've got UMass Lowell, which was from just a couple days, or, well, it was for a week-long poll from the 12th to the 19th, 450 voters. Sanders at 21%, just slightly lower than the other poll. Klobuchar, 27%, just slightly lower than the other poll. And Biden at 9%, just a little bit above. Okay, well, the data for progress, and this was from a different time period, this is from the 28th to the 2nd, to yesterday, the 28th, so going from Friday to Monday, voter sample 650, they show Sanders with 32%, okay, so that's up, it's a surge, and presumably there are fewer undecideds. They show Klobuchar at 2%. At 2%. Now, she only announced yesterday that she was dropping out of the race. Why should her support have collapsed? You would presume, and if they're saying that their polling period was Friday to Monday, you would presume that three-fourths of the people, at least three-fourths of the people, were from those three first days of the poll, when Klobuchar was still very much in the race. And why would she have collapsed from, say, 27, 29% down to 2%? So that's very odd. It gives Bloomberg a surge, and it gives Biden a surge, a massive surge. So I find that kind of odd, and that makes me think that data for progress is not necessarily reliable. All right, well, what else do we see from, let's look at California, because California is the big enchilada. And here we've got two polls. One is Emerson, and I've seen a lot from Emerson. They've been around for a while, Emerson. And this is from Saturday to Sunday. It's just a two-day poll, 545 voters. And it's got Sanders at 38%, Biden at 21%. And this is Saturday, Sunday. And so a lot of, half the people presumably would know that Biden had won big in South Carolina. So that's factored in. So 38% to 21%, a 17-point lead. The data for progress, which was a Friday to Monday poll with 516 voters, they've only got Sanders with a 7-point lead. So I don't know. What's the point of that? Let's move on. Let's look at Texas. Again, you've got Emerson that shows Sanders with a 5-point lead in Texas. And then data for progress. And these are basically over the same time period. Biden with a 2-point lead. So that's all kind of weird, and those are very recent polls. But if you go back, CBS, which was just a couple of days earlier, and all the other polls, they have been showing since February, since the beginning of February, basically, Sanders with a significant lead. So does this really mean that that Biden is surging in Texas? I don't know. Well, we are going to find out pretty soon. I guess the next biggest state? Well, you've got Georgia and North Carolina. I guess, is Georgia a little bigger than North Carolina? Anyway, we're looking at North Carolina. And they're showing Biden ahead. That's not a surprise to us. That's kind of factored in. Virginia, which is, doesn't have the huge, well, North Carolina doesn't have a huge number of blacks, so they have a lot of blacks. Biden, I'm not surprised to see him leading in Virginia, because Northern Virginia is so heavily, you know, government workers and whatnot, and government contractors. And then let's look at just a couple more. Georgia, because it's a big deal. It's Georgia tomorrow. No, wait, Georgia's on the 24th of March, so who cares? Massachusetts, which is today, relatively large state in terms of delegates, 91 delegates. And again, you're seeing all of the other polls from February on had Sanders with a lead, a narrow lead over Warren, but a lead. And this data for progress shows Warren with a lead. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, so anyway, that is the horse race for president. But there's another horse race that's going on behind the scenes, and that is the horse race for vice president. Now, if you look historically, sometimes defeated rivals are selected, and not necessarily the second place rival. Joe Biden was a defeated rival in 2008, but he was, in typical Joe Biden fashion, had not won a single primary or a single delegate. But he was still selected. For whatever reason, Obama liked him and gave him choice, Secretary of State or Vice President. And Biden said Vice President. He said, okay. And then he offered Secretary of State to Hillary, who was the second place finisher that year. So that happens. You can think of others, cases. Certainly George H.W. Bush ran second to Ronald Reagan, and he was brought on as a running mate. More often, it is not somebody who is a defeated rival. So it can be, but it doesn't have to be. Let's look at, 2004. Does anybody even remember 2004? When John Kerry was the nominee. And who did he select? He selected North Carolina Senator John Edwards. Now, John Edwards also ran in 2004. So you have that. It's not that uncommon. But then again, look at last year. Who did Trump select? Was not an also-ran. He selected Mike Pence, who had not run for president. Hillary Clinton, who did she select? She selected Tim Kaine, senator from Virginia, not an also-ran. You look at 2012. Who did Mitt Romney select? Paul Ryan, not somebody who had run for president. Look at 2008 in the Republicans. Who did McCain select? Sarah Palin, not an also-ran. And then you look at 2000, who did Bush Jr. select? He selected Dick Cheney, not an also-ran. Who did Al Gore select in 2000? He selected Joe Lieberman, not an also-ran. Oh, God. Did you hear that? So Mr. T, he almost threw up when he heard Joe Lieberman's name. What do you think of that? Okay. I think that is very politically astute. 1996. 1996 was when Bob Dole selected Jack Kemp, who was not an also-ran in 96. He was an also-ran from 92. How about 1992? Who did Bill Clinton select? Al Gore, who was not an also-ran in 92, but he was an also-ran in 88. I'm just going back. We're just going over these things. 1988, who did H.W. select? H.W. Bush, he selected Dan Quayle, not an also-ran, a young senator. Who did Michael Dukakis select? Lloyd Benson. Lloyd Benson was an also-ran from, I believe, 1976. He was an older senator from Texas. So you go back and back and back. 1984, Mondale selected Geraldine Ferraro, not an also-ran. And then we're back at 1980. I don't know how far we'll do this exercise. 80, who did Reagan select? He selected Bush, the second place finisher. 76, Who did Carter select? Walter Mondale, not somebody who had run for president. Who did Ford select? Bob Dole, not somebody who had run for president. And you can go back and back and back. I don't know how far. You do have cases. I mean, you had Kennedy in 1960 putting Johnson on the ticket, who was the second place finisher. So you have this type of thing. And so when we're talking about the vice presidential sweepstakes, the people who immediately come to mind are the also-rans. And I think a lot of people who were running for president this year weren't really running for president. They were trying to position themselves to be a vice presidential candidate, to kind of show that they have an appeal with a certain demographic that might be useful in the general election. And I think, like, Julian Castro would be a perfect example of this. I don't think he ever thought he was going to be elected president, you know, on the basis of being a young Hispanic who doesn't even speak Spanish, who has never, I don't know if he's had local elective office. He was, his brother is a congressman. He was the secretary of, Housing and Urban Development for Obama. I think he was clearly running for vice president, and I don't think he made much of a splash. Maybe Amy Klobuchar thought she would win, but I think her dropping out shows that she's got her eye on the and endorsing Joe Biden, that she's got her eye on the VP slot. I think that's pretty clear. And the same with Buttigieg doing the same thing. You know, Buttigieg, they're both younger. Klobuchar is 59, which is, compared to Biden, it's a lot younger. Biden being, he's what, born in 1942, I believe. So he's 77, going on 78. So, and Klobuchar is a woman. And then, of course, Buttigieg is whatever. Did you see, because this was gross, when he was getting up there to endorse Joe Biden, and withdraw from the race. When he's going to withdraw from the race, I guess he's got the dude he's gay married to, Chasten, I think is his name. I don't know what the last name is. It's not Buttigieg. And I don't know, I mean, with a name like Buttigieg, why didn't he take Chasten's last name? Because they're gay married. And can't they do that? I would think they can. So anyway, Chasten is introducing him, and then Buttigieg walks up on stage, and then they lip-kissed. Not for a long time. They lip-kissed and then they hugged. Now, to see two guys in business suits hugging is one thing, but to see them kissing on the mouth, it really was kind of gross. Now, fortunately, I wasn't watching it on high-definition TV, and the camera was pretty far away. Mr. T did gag, just like he did when I mentioned Joe Lieberman. When I mentioned that name, he gagged, and so... I got to be careful, because I've got a very sensitive dog here. So that was kind of gross, but that's what they're going for. Elizabeth Warren can't go for anybody's vice presidential candidate because she's been so nasty. And she was nasty to Bernie Sanders and brought up that whole hoax about Bernie Sanders having said in a personal conversation, a private conversation, that just happened to get leaked to Elizabeth Warren that he didn't think a woman could win the presidency, which is ridiculous. He obviously, I don't know. I mean, he endorsed, actually, he had tried to get Elizabeth Warren to run for president in 2016 before he himself jumped in. So it's just a typical Pocahontas type of thing to say. She also has been ripping into Mike Bloomberg, who... I was pontificating a week ago, or 10 days ago, was going to be the main rival to Sanders. And he may still. Just looking at the polling data, his polling data looks like he's going to put him into a third place. And whether it's going to be enough of a third place for him to carry on, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about raising money. Usually with these people... The thing is, they need the momentum. When they lose the momentum, they lose the money. When they lose the money, they lose the campaign because they don't have any issues. Tulsi can stay in the race because she's got an issue that nobody else, including Bernie, is not talking about. But that's what these two are positioning for. Tulsi is being talked about as a Bernie running mate because she did support him in 2016. In fact, resigned as co-chair of the Democratic National Committee in protest of their treatment of Bernie. And she has not attacked him. But she does have different stance. She's got actually pretty different policies because she's not as crazy on most issues. All right, we are coming up on the break. And we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Aloha, and welcome back to the show. So I hope this isn't getting tedious because, you know, this race is going on. It's going to continue to go on. You still got big states, Florida, New York, and Georgia, and others that are Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You're going to have a calendar on a more or less weekly basis for the rest of the spring. And what's likely to happen, you know, if 2016 is a guide, what happened is it winnowed down, and actually, excuse me, if 1988 is a guide as well, it winnows down a bit. So it winnows down to a few people. If I think after Super Tuesday, was it after Super Tuesday or before Super Tuesday? I guess going into Super Tuesday, you still had, obviously, Trump and Cruz. You had Marco Rubio, and you had Ben Carson was still in. And then, of course, that guy who, like, is a sloppy eater, John Kasich. Those five were in. And maybe was it Super Tuesday where Carson wound up falling out, and then Rubio stayed in until he won the Florida primary, so he stayed in, but then he dropped out. Kasich, who only won one primary, which was his own home state of Ohio, he stayed in until the end because he was thinking brokered convention. And this is Elizabeth Warren is going to be the John Kasich of 2020 because nobody likes her, nobody wants her, nobody's going to vote for her, but she's going to stick around because. Maybe she'll have a few delegates. She'll be way behind in the delegates. But if it's really, really close, if you've got a few dozen delegates and it's really, really close, you can leverage those delegates. Now, she would have a hard time leveraging those delegates for a vice presidential slot because nobody likes her, and she's even gone to attacking Joe Biden. Well, she has to attack Joe Biden now because if she's not attacking Joe Biden, if Joe Biden's not a bad guy, there's no logic for her to be in there. She should step aside and endorse Joe Biden. But she's not going to do that. And if she's going to stay in, she's got to attack him. So she's not going to be anybody's vice presidential candidate. We'll see. And then, of course, everybody's logic is that they are the person who can beat Trump. Really, I don't think any of these people can beat Trump on their own, but there's going to be massive media help. There could be a lot of deep state help. Trump himself, he can say stupid things, but so far, Trump's main problem hasn't been what he's said, it's just been these outside sources. So nobody knows. Anyway, I am getting beeped by the network saying, hurry up, send the show, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.